Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
All right. Hey, good response today. How's everyone on this wonderful Sunday in the middle of Lent? Everybody doing well?
Yep.
Well.
Pastor's doing wonderful. Anybody else doing wonderful? We have God on our side. His mighty army is with us, and we are here today to help you worship. We'd like to remind you that the Easter lilies will go on sale soon. If you would like to remember a loved one or just say thanks to the Lord for all he's done for you and purchase a lily, $12 is the cost, and they'll be displayed throughout the church during the Easter services. It is a beautiful time of year, and the more lilies we put in here, the more beautiful it is. So again, if you want to remember a loved one or just give praise to our Father, if you would please rise and greet each other with a warm handshake and a friendly smile. So what do you think of the time change? Y'all all did very, very good, I gotta say. We do have a few empty seats on those who didn't change their clock, however. Well, I'm gonna ask you to rise again so we may begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We begin our worship. Please join us in song and praise.
House of the Lord here this day, and we ask your comforts and your blessing. We ask for your peace, O Lord, to reign upon us. As we confess our sinfulness, we seek your forgiveness. As we confess that we have left things undone, we ask that you would help us to tie those things up and to make things right. We ask, O Lord, for your pardon, for your peace. As people, we call on your name, the name of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus, name above all names. In your holy name, bless us in our gathering and worship. Amen.
You may be seated now. Please note the blue and yellow cards at the end of the pew. An elder will collect the yellow cards later in the service. If you'd like to send up a prayer and have the church join you in honoring someone or just praying for someone who may need some help, the blue cards are for attendance. If you're guests, we'd certainly like to know you've visited us, and we would like to follow up on it. So please use the cards, and we will continue in worship. To bring our scripture reader up now.
The Old Testament reading is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bite anyone, he would look to the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of the grace of in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the book of St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever knows that, or whoever does that is true, comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out by God. Here ends the reading of our Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated.
An elder will collect the yellow cards during this next song.
Words of life, words of hope.
morning, everyone. Just a couple of quick announcements for today. I want to give thanks to everyone who took palms off the Walk with Jesus supply tree in the narthex. The Easter experience is scheduled for Saturday, March 29th at 9 a.m. And your supply donations will help the team of volunteers make that event amazing. The final planning meeting for this is Sunday. That's today at 12:30 in the first loggia room. Please jump in and help. Registration forms for participants are in the narthex and the school offices, and sign up to now if you would. The next is be sure to share Facebook invitations for the printed invitation cards to invite a friend or neighbor or coworker to the Trinity events during Lenten season. Those cards are also in the narthex. Wednesday Lenten services continue. That's each Wednesday through March 21st at 12:10. That's in the afternoon and at 7 p.m. The Lenten soup dinners will be hosted by Trinity volunteer teams in the Fellowship Hall each Wednesday. That's from 5:30 to 6:45. So mark your calendars and invite others for this Trinity Fellowship. Lastly, our Comfort Dog Ministry team will begin collecting puppy supplies to prepare for the arrival of our Comfort Dog. That's beginning Easter morning. So check the narthex for a puppy shower wish list. And mark your calendars for April 15th. There's a luncheon then where we'll gather together to have a final meal and bless all the supplies for our new Comfort Dog ministry.
Thank you, Chris. I don't know about you, but don't you really kind of look forward to this part of daylight savings time, this time of year? Lose an hour of sleep, get up early. Nobody else has breathed this air. You're just getting ahead of it all. So I think it's wonderful, don't you? Well, we are going to be gathering in God's Word today. John chapter 3 is our text, and we hope that you open your pew Bibles or look at the screen for John 3. And there's also some sermon notes inside of your weekly bulletin there. Please pray with me. Amen. Well, this too will, I guess, need to be fixed. I'll probably knock it over and hit myself in the head. Well, this is probably something that I should put someplace else. So, I'm not sure what you're singing next, but it's probably not the right page. It's the what? It'll be a surprise to all of us, huh? Well, we're glad you're here this morning, and welcome to those of you who are visitors. We'll try to not upset anything else. And so that includes the good Lord and our Savior who's present with us today. Please pray with me. Lord and Savior Jesus, we do ask that you would be with us today as we gather to hear your word. May you bless the message. May you bless the hearers and the messenger. And we ask this in your holy name, the name of Jesus. Amen. As a church planter of past, when I would see bulldozers and cranes and smell the fresh dirt that's being dug up, moved about, I sensed that growth was all in the air. And all of that growth represented people. When you start to look at downtown Orlando, you see the cranes framing our skyway. You start to see new buildings cropping up. You have to sense that God's at work, that there will be people and businesses and grocery stores and doctors and cars and homes and schools and church. I get a bit excited because I believe we have the best thing going in town. At church, we offer, all Christian churches, offer the best and only remedy for the cure of what ails us, death. Where else can you find openly and ready acceptance from the very first time you step foot into a building? And you haven't said a thing, you haven't done a thing, you haven't given a thing, and yet you are welcomed with open arms at church. Where else can you find anything that you can find forgiveness, hope, where you can find a world big on blame? At church, you hear of forgiveness, of hope, of safety and security, and answers to life questions in the storms of life itself. That's why I'm big on church. For our job is that which is so big is to give, and to give all this goodness away to each and every person who not only walks through our doors, but those who we rub shoulders with as we go throughout this week. The wonderful good news of Jesus is what I hope you will share. I remember when Desiree and I bought our first new car. How many of you remember the car that brought Chrysler back from the skids of bankruptcy? Do you remember what it was called? The K car. Desiree and I bought one. We not only bought one, we bought two, one after the other. The first one was such a wonderful thing, we thought, as we started to drive and just explore and see it, and we were in wonder and amazement of this wonderful car that was just the right size for our young family. It was quiet, it was comfortable, and it was cheap. And when we started to drive it, we were proud to tell people about this car. That car we drove for over 200,000 miles. And then we sold it to a trucker that drove back and forth to various places, and he put some more miles on it. But you know, as good as that car was, I had something better that would take me not only 200,000 miles, but would rather transport me from this life into eternity. And his name is Jesus. And that's the promise that you and I are going to be talking about in the next few moments. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Do you know today that the world is filled with 7.6 billion people? And we don't have to breathe one after another or in tandem or in somehow some type of syncopated rhythm. We all get to do it anytime at all the time together. And yet God has provided us with the oxygen to do it. 2.1 billion of us are Christian. 1.3 of us are Islam or Muslim. 1.1 are atheists who don't believe that there is any God. So when you and I start to believe and to hear this wonderful good news, it reminds me of a flight that I took where I was flying to LA and I saw a sea of houses. And then as I looked down, they looked like tiny dollhouses. And I saw row after row, street after street, a sea of roofs, rooftops and cars that lined the interstate. And I wondered how God thought about all of this when I was reminded of this verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. And then as I came to Orlando, I started to see, as I was walking through Walmart, languages that I had very seldom heard. I heard Chinese, I heard Spanish, and I heard all the many other languages, even German. And then I found somebody that was speaking in sign language. And then down aisle 9, I found somebody that actually spoke English. And for this farm boy from Iowa, I just wondered, did they know Jesus? Did they know Jesus in their corner of the world from which they came? I remember wondering that as I walked through the gates of Disney and I saw the many nationalities and wondrous groups of people just enjoying themselves. I wondered, do they know Jesus? God God so loved the world that he gave. I once had a man ask me, why should I believe in God? What's he ever done for me? I smiled and I said, God so loved you, Henry, as I inserted his name in the verse. God so loved you, Henry, that he gave his only begotten son. So if you would believe in him, he would not, you, Henry, would not perish, but you would have everlasting life. You see, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. He traded Jesus' life, Henry, for your life. And because of God's love for you, he watched his son die so that you wouldn't have to. Jesus died that you, so that you could live forever. All God wants from you, Henry, is to believe it. And I said, Henry, is that too much to ask? And in the context of that conversation, I was thinking in my mind, whoever believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can have eternal life. Whoever. I thought, what a beautiful name. Whoever. Because I am not excluded. In fact, whoever includes you, and it includes me, and it included Henry. In fact, everyone is included. God so loved everyone so that if anyone would believe, they would not perish but would have everlasting life. The Indian and Pakistani, the Iranian and Egyptian, the Spanish or Mexican from LA and Orlando, and the Chinese and in Taiwan, as well as all of us, even Danes like myself. And this is truly remarkable when we start to look at what science tells us about our world. It seems as though we are perishing. Our world is starting to, we're starting to see signs that our pollution is getting so great in some corners of the world that we'll either have water poisoning or poison and choke ourselves and we won't be able to breathe the air. Or with North Korea, we now have also the threats of nuclear holocaust. But you know, my friends, it was just a few short years that I remember in Africa that there were more than 500 million people getting sick with malaria every year. And each year, 1 million people, most of them children in Africa, would die of malaria. That's 2,880 a day, 120 deaths every hour, one death every 30 seconds. And what we found is that we could provide tents that would cover people while they're sleeping at night when the mosquitoes were most prevalent and flying about and would bite people and pass from malaria from one place to another, from one person to another. And that by simply covering them, especially children, they could be protected from this terrible disease that caused death. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was at the forefront of providing tents throughout that region of Africa. And today, the threat of malaria is almost non-existent by and large. We have made inroads that have saved countless lives. The gospel was shared with these people through what we said, but also what we did. And the gospel message of Jesus Christ, loving them that much that we would send something as simple as a tent to cover them, so they wouldn't be bitten, spared their lives. But my friends, if we are covered in the tent of Christ, clothed in Christ, we are told that we have passed from life in this life, even unto death, that we will not die eternally, that God will raise us from death to life and promise us life everlasting, if you believe this. Because God so loved you, you and you and you, so that if you would believe on his name, you would not perish, but would have everlasting life. In America, we receive a birth certificate, and at the end of our life, we receive a death certificate. But in between, if we become believers in Jesus Christ, Our names are recorded in the book of everlasting life, and we have the promise of life itself. And Jesus himself tells us that not even death, not even life, nothing in this world or in the next, powers to be, powers that in the heavens or in the earth, can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. Do you want a life that lasts longer than a Duracell battery? You know, the bunny that keeps going and going and going. When we believe in Jesus, we have a life that keeps on going and going and going. It's called eternal life. And your names are written in the book of life. And so in Jesus' name, you have the promise of living in the house of the Lord forever. Whoever, what a beautiful name. It includes you and it includes me. But as I listen to the people's conversations, there are a lot of people, many of them even Christians, who are scared and scarred by their sins in a belief and a wonderment, can God really forgive me? I've committed the same sin many times, Lord. Can you really forgive me again? Or to say, God, this sin is really big. It's big. It's so big. Can you even forgive it? Have I gone beyond your reach? Can you no longer touch me or grab me or hold me or forgive me? Those are the things that I hear sometimes. God knows that you and I couldn't pay the price. We couldn't pay the freight for the size of our sins. Not even eternity in hell could right the wrongs that we have to pay for. God knows that he alone had the means to pay the price, to right our wrong, and the cost was Jesus' life. It's why Christ carried the cross to Calvary. It's why he did it for you and for me. It was the only way that you and I could be forgiven, because even the big and the bad stuff God can take care of through the blood of Christ. Jesus, our Savior, God's own Son, overshadows our sins. The size of our sins are small in comparison to the size of our Savior. He is bigger and badder than our baddest. He is mightier than the multiple messes that we've gotten our lives into. Your sins and mine were paid for in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. And like I asked Henry, do you believe this? He who believes, verse 18 tells us, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe in the name of God's one and only Son is condemned already. Now, this kind of makes sense to me. When I go to the doctor, and many times, you know, they'll prescribe you some medicine, and if I go and I say, thank you, doctor, I appreciate your advice here, and I go and I don't fill the medicine, or if I even do go and I fill the medicine prescription, but then don't take the pills, am I going to get better? I think not. In fact, I'm more than likely ensuring my sickness will not improve, but likely will get worse. My friends, Jesus is God's prescription. Our Messiah is God's only medicine of salvation and life everlasting. The promises of, will you believe this, that you will not perish but have everlasting life, is the promise that God gives you as the good physician. God offers this Jesus to the whole world, but he also offers it to you. And I want you to know that. And I want you to know that he offers it to your friend. He offers it to your family. He offers it to people you work with, people you know who need to hear this message. Plainly put, God loved the world so that whosoever. But Christ goes further in this next text, this next verse. Perhaps we don't talk about it often when we hear messages on it. It says that the light, God, Christ, came into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Have you ever seen those, like 3 foot by 4 foot, they're framed off, they're nice fluorescent lights, if you like fluorescent, and we've put one of those in our kitchen in Tennessee, and when we were doing a little bit of remodeling. And we had this other one was just one single light, you know, that had that big old bell over the top, the shade, and then it shines down on the kitchen table and wherever else the light would go. We had a little bit of light throughout the other places, but it just wasn't as light as we wanted. And as soon as we hooked that light, that fluorescent up, it just was like, whoosh, sunlight had come in. It just looked wonderful. And we said, oh, isn't this wonderful? We started to look around with big smiles on our face. And then we saw, oh, we need to paint there, don't we? And, you know, that's a little dirty over there, isn't it? I guess I missed that. And we started to point out things that we saw that we didn't see when we didn't have the amount of light that we now had. And that's kind of how it is for us as Christians. Especially when we are deep into God's Word and start to see the light of God's Word coming more and more into our life. Or if we're a new Christian, we start to see that in our world that we are coming out of, that God is showing us a part of our life that we didn't see so clearly. And there might be some painting or some dirt or some things that need to be remodeled. But be of good cheer. God will be with you, and God will go to work, and God will help you, because as you and I understand that the light does shine through the darkness, and sin loves the cover of darkness. But as God reveals it, in this light, it exposes areas of our life that need cleaning and fixing, painting and remodeled. As a Christian, I want you to know that it's good because Christ is very thorough. And I love the light in my kitchen, but I love the light of Christ more so in my life. I want you to pray for opportunities for you to proclaim this wondrous good news, especially for Easter, and to invite folks. And those who profess Christ will need to help, perhaps in dealing with going from darkness now into the light in their life. And so in order to prepare you for what you might find yourself helping someone else with, I want you to remember what we've already talked with you about: worship, witness, word, fellowship, and stewardship. You may need to help folks get into the sitting down together in worship, inviting that friend or family member. You may need to sit by them and welcome them and greet them, but also show them where we're at in the service so they'll come to an understanding and an appreciation for what we do and why we do what we do. You might also need to help them as they start to open the pages of God's Word. Help them with understanding what they're reading. Answer their questions. Talk about it with them. Take time to listen to what they're asking and what they're learning, and to thank God for that. Also, as they start to think about sharing their faith with other people, you can be that one who will help them with their witness. And maybe that'll be good for you as well. Fellowship, helping them to come into conversation with other Christians, getting to know other people who have the same faith as they do, and helping them to understand how we lift up and pray for and walk together as Christians. And that finally is, where can they serve Jesus? Helping them to see what their spiritual gifts are and to be able to use their time, their talents, and their treasures. You may say, that's a lot, Pastor. Don't you do some of that? Yeah, but so do you. And so does the Holy Spirit. We're in it as a team, you and me and the Holy Spirit, into bringing people into a deeper walk with the Lord. Because you know what? Whosoever believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will not perish, but will have everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's now stand as we confess our faith in the words written in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Get him, team.
We continue our worship in song, and at this time, the offering will be collected.
Savior Jesus, we indeed thank you for refreshing us in worship. As we heard that you loved us so much that you would die upon a cross because our sins would have kept us from you forever otherwise. For a world of people like Henry who asked, God, what have you ever done for me? Help us to tell them the story that you've done everything. Help us, O Lord, to be faithful witnesses and ambassadors through our school, through our staff of teachers and principal, through our church, Lord, through the many ministries that we do here, for the people of God gathered here at Trinity. Lord, to be faithful witnesses. Bless our leaders of this congregation. Bless its pastor. To be faithful in our witness unto you. Help us to be ambassadors of reconciliation and hope. Because whosoever is a wonderful name that includes everyone and yet anyone who would believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, they can have life everlasting. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And Lord Jesus, we also pray that you would bless our Florida Georgia district in their efforts to start 10 new missions. It's exciting to think about people who don't have a place to worship yet, who might be drawn to you in that new place. Bless these efforts. We pray, O Lord, for President Walton and his staff. And we ask, O Lord, that you would bless them. Be with our synodical president, Matthew Harrison, as well. And the work of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, not only in this nation, but around the world. And may you bless their work. And may we be a part of that blessing to this world. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we hear the prayers that have been requested today.
Father, we give you Sam, asking for health and recovery. Father, we give you Kristen's mom, ask that everything be going well for her in Kentucky in her new job. Father, also those that are traveling during spring break, ask for safety. Also, we give you Valerie and others waiting for cancer tests, and ask for pleasing results, and also give them peace. And Father, we ask you give those seeking employment after job layoffs. And Father, also those that are suffering inside that maybe only you know, that we can't even see, places where only you have been, family going through turmoil, those suffering from mental issues and depression, Zach with drug addiction, his family. Lord, we ask you to hold them tight, give them your blessings, give them your healing, and watch over them. Father, also Tony in state prison. Keep him safe and secure. Give him your blessings and care. Father, bless those that have given us these prayers. And thank you for Pastor Doug, and bless him and his ministry here and in Orlando. Lord, also we ask your blessings and care on the eighth grade, on its teacher, on the parents, and on the students. We ask that you be in that room daily with them. And Father, just thank you for what we've learned here today, and to send us out with those things. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. And together we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had broken it, and he gave it unto his disciples, he said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and after he had supped, he gave it unto his disciples and said, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Amen. You may be seated.
Say I am rich because of what the Lord has done. Side.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen.
Please join us as we close with His Grace Is Enough, knowing very well that His grace is enough. And serve the Lord.